Verse 19 said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. He's talking about the outside world. They're a certain way. Don't imitate that. That's ridiculous. But we're instructed in verse 22 to put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we have these grave clothes like Lazarus coming forth out of the tomb. Our salvation is in some ways a picture of resurrection, you know, dead to the old way, alive to the new way. But we still have these grave clothes, and we're to take them off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed is, well, made new, right? And it's a mind thing. It's a thinking. It's a refocusing, re-understanding. We kind of have to get re-educated. And that you put on the new man. So there's a taking off, there's a putting on. Then that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's setting the table for what goes on after that. Well, what does it mean to put on the new man? That's a good question. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now, lying takes on many forms. And you're thinking, well, that's really the first thing? Yeah, I think it's the first thing, and I think it's one of the most important. What gets God really upset? Lying. When Jesus said about Satan, when he lies, he's speaking his native tongue. He was a liar from the beginning. You remember the first words spoken of Satan in Scripture. You can't eat from every tree. Like, hey, Eve, God's kind of holding out on you, isn't he? That was a lie. Oh, God is very, very generous. Was there enough food in Eden, were they ever going to go hungry? You know, that they have to wait for the hunt and go chasing after buffalo. And there was abundance. And I think it was nutritional. I think it was great. I think God is a genius creator. And what does Satan want to focus you on? The thing that God said, yeah, don't do that. That's a bad idea. That's not going to work out for you. And then what does he say? Well, no, she's right. He says, no, we can eat all the trees. There's one, yeah, but God said don't eat it, don't touch it. She was wrong. There's nothing about touching it. Because the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. She got that part right. And so what does he do then? Ye shall not surely die. Was that a truth? No, it was an absolute lie. That's what Satan does. Why? I got to ask you a question. Why do you listen to him? You do. More. You know what the problem is with Satan? He never announces. I'm here now. I'm putting thoughts in your mind that aren't your thoughts. And we just think like, you know, God's mad at us. He's really bugged at us. You know what? The other day I wasn't quite as godly as I should have been. I had a bad attitude. And when I was driving, oh, forget about that. And we start... God's really bugged at me. And you know what Satan's whispering in our ear? God's really bugged at you. You can't really think that you're in fellowship with him, that you're doing, you know, that you're in, that he approves of your life. And we listen to him. We just do. All our problems are satanically inspired. We think it's our own mind. No, there's a renewing of our mind. We have to be able to differentiate. Wait a second. Where'd that thought come from? That's not a godly thought. And I don't care if it's something I heard from somebody else or a demon is whispering in my ear or it's me. I don't care. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Get rid of it. We take all thoughts captive. What does God say about this thought that I'm thinking right now? And don't try to justify it. Don't lie. Truth. Truth is very, very important. And when we lie, we're very much like Satan. And you say, Adam, that's a little over the top there. No. Jesus is true. He is the truth. We worship the truth. Truth is very, very important. Well, I don't out and out lie, Adam. I might stretch the truth a little bit. I might, I'm telling a story, and for the sake of the story, I might embellish, but I don't just sit there and lie and just tell people, make things up out of whole cloth and try to sell them. This really happened to me, and when it never did, the UFO, and they came, and they took me, and they did experiments on me. Oh, it was horrible. But I saw Bigfoot and Elvis while I was aboard the craft, so that, solves a few mysteries. Well, we're not like that. We're not given to that. We're not crazy like that. But we do. We tell a story, and we just kind of make it a little bit more. Or your wife comes back from the beautician. This never happened to me, ever once. I'm just giving you a for instance. And her hair is like, it looks like a cow with an overbite was grazing on it. It's not very becoming. And she says, "How does my hair look? How do you like this?" And you don't want to sleep on the couch, so you say, "Oh, it's fine," right? Because we're trying not to hurt anyone's feelings. I understand trying not to hurt anyone's feelings. I really do. Honey, that's not your very... I liked it the way it was. I thought it was tremendous. Or you just got to get used to living with that new... No, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Suze is... someone who's culinarily gifted. No, Shirley is. And she likes to experiment. And I like that she likes to experiment. I'm not the guy who wants like 10 different entrees and when you get through, start the list again. I'm not that guy. I'm very adventurous culinarily. And so she is too. And so she puts something in front of us that we neither one of us ate. And I said to her, "I love you. You know I love your cooking. You're tremendous in the kitchen. We both get that. I reserve the right to say, this isn't my favorite." How many times have we done that? And usually we're both on the same page about it. Like, it's all right, but... And then she makes something. I say, "Oh, add this to the mix. This one's good. It would take me a whole lot of this to get me sick and tired of it." And I just want to be honest. Because why? Because I'm going to keep getting that. And if I don't like it, I'm just going to be miserable. So it might as well just be honest right at the beginning. Like I say, she does really good. But like I said, I reserve the right to tell you, not my favorite ever. And by the way, when it comes right down to it, you'll find I'm very, very easy to please. I really am. PB&J, tremendous. You think I like all these things so that I like them exclusively. No, I got a real... I was going to say where we ate yesterday and make a joke there, but I think I'll pass, especially with the open microphone. Not my favorite place, but I can always find something on the menu that I like, so away we go. But I want to tell the truth. I remember times in my life where there was like a rumor going around a job, "Oh, let's ask Adam, he won't lie." I love the fact that people know that about me, that my word's true, that I wouldn't lie. I don't want to be. Now, have I ever stretched the truth? We don't have to talk about that, do we? Have I ever embellished in a story? I'm convicted this week. The things that I say, I want them to be exactly so. I want them to be... because this is what he wants. You're all these things. You've been called since the foundation of the earth. He put his spirit in you. He sealed you. He's given you the down payment, the earnest of his redemption, all these things. He's forgiven us from our sins. So, I want a certain type of behavior from you. Listen, will lying keep you from heaven? It will not. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. You don't go to heaven because you're telling the truth. Because you are going to heaven, tell the truth. Be men, be women who are just saying the truth. I'm going to get there in speaking the truth in love, so let's just put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Oh, yeah, we already talked about that last week. I was thinking it was coming up, but it's not. Last week we were talking about speaking the truth in love. Speak truth and do it lovingly. And you can. Sometimes the truth itself is kind of not what we want to hear. But it's the truth. But we don't want to be hard. We want to be loving when we can. But you know, the reason we speak truth, especially one with another, is because we're all in the same body. You imagine a hand that's on a hot stove telling the brain, no, it's fine. No, I'm okay, everything's fine. And as the hand's blistering and bubbling and just boiling your blood, you're just sitting there, no, it's all fine. We wouldn't do that. You think a body that does that is schizo. Well, a body that does that is schizo. We don't lie to each other. We're trying to build each other up. You can't build up people by being false. Let the mask slip, too. I think we're always trying to portray a certain, I'm pastor, I'm the epitome of holiness and righteousness and godliness. I never do anything wrong. What are you, crazy people or something? I try to be who I really am. Let you, warts and all, this is me. If you don't like being taught by a sinner, good luck finding another church, because they're going to be a sinner there. These are different sins, that's all it is. We're all struggling one way or another, and we all haven't arrived. And then when I can tell, I can, be real with the brother and say, yeah, this is a struggle. I understand, Adam, because I got that same struggle. I'll pray for you. Will you pray for me? And now we're knit together. Now we're closer. Now, if I get put on the holier-than-thou airs, really, guys, still sinning at this point? Come on. Why can't you be more like me? Now I've just, one, I'm not true, and I've made a difference between us. I'm not one of us. I'm holier than thou and above everybody else. How can we build on that? Just reality. It's a wonderful thing. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's the rationale. That's the reason. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This is good. This is wonderful. They do that dance sometimes at a wedding reception where they get all the married couples on the floor. And if you've been married for this long, so have you married? So me and Susan get into the place where we're like, we're one of the few remaining couples. And then they ask, when you win, right? If you win, they say, you got any words of encouragement for the newlywed? This is words of encouragement for the newlyweds, the oldlyweds, the not weds at all, the people who have friends, people who have family. This is wonderful. Now, it's not a command to be angry, okay? Be angry. You got to be angry sometimes, No, when you're angry, and you will be, you will be. Do you own a driver's license? There's some crazy people out there who are trying to kill you because they are texting, because they are doing dumb things, because they're making lane changes without looking to see if you're in their blind spot. There's crazy people out there. Does that get you a little bit upset? Me, yesterday, a couple times, right? Would you come on to that pedal there, mister, for goodness sake? Usually people are saying that about me, But you get mad sometimes. It sparks up in us. But don't sin, right? Watch your mouth. Don't say the things that your kids are going to repeat later and make you all embarrassed, right? And certainly don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So we had a little bit of a dust up once. I think it was back in 83. I'm not sure. I can't remember. So, but listen, as it gets later and later, I get more and more humble. I say I don't want to sleep in the couch. You guys think like it's a weekly occurrence. I think that's happened probably a handful, probably not even, I can count on one hand, in my whole married life of 40 something. And if you're doing better than that, good, great. But I don't want the sun to go down on my wrath. Why? Because I know how this works. Need to give place to the devil. Diablos, the slanderer. So her stuff is her stuff. Whatever imaginary or real thing she did that's got us upset with each other, okay, we can deal with that tonight, today. We can both own our, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way, Adam. I meant this, well, I thought, and you touched a nerve when you said, and we can work it out. But once the sun goes down, your wrath, Satan's all night long. You know what she did? She was terrible. I can't imagine, you're still married to her. What a horrible human being she is. And Satan's accusing me to her. And now it's like, in the morning, now it's this little thing that was, could have easily been, and now it's this, I don't care if it's your significant other, I don't care if it's your best friend, I don't care if it's your mom or your work associate, or quickly get that ironed out, quickly. Why should I? It was all their fault. Oh, that's I love the fact that you said that. Because if it really was all their fault and you haven't done anything wrong, you're in a spiritual, you're in a better place to work that relationship back together, to knit that back together. Jesus said that, you know, when you're an adversary, or, you know, before you get to court, iron it out, you know, because once the judge is involved, you can make it right. You can do, you can, you know, I know married couples where one of the spouses have never said in their whole married life, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I know if I said that to Suze, oh my goodness, she'd wear me like a coat. Oh, it would just be the end of our, I'm wrong all the time. I get buckets of I'm wrong, sorry, I pass them out. I don't get, I, even when I haven't done anything wrong, because there was something wrong with, that I did before and I didn't say I'm sorry, so I owe her, I'm in arrears, I got to catch up my payment, right? This, when you're wrong, it's just say it. You're right, honey, I'm sorry. You know how I get sometimes. Ugh. And you know what happens? Nah, I don't sweat it. I forgive you. And then we're right cool again. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, no, no. Now my pride's involved. You know, she said this, and she should never have said that. And now we're, and I'm not, I'll be darned if I'm going to be the one to give in. And it just escalates and escalates and escalates, and now we're not speaking. Oh, I'm not on a couch. I'm on my side of the bed, and there's a gap. I'm not even going to let her hear me breathe. I'm not going to give her the satisfaction, let her know I'm alive. I'll show her. And of course, who's sleeping right between us but Satan, right? I just picture that, like, laughing at the whole, you know, no. You're angry. I'm not surprised that two sinners living in the same house would have a spat, a dust-up. It's like two cats in a sack. I'm surprised when you never do. You agree so much that there's never any, I think one of the partners is totally given into the other all the time. And I'm not saying go and fight and mix it up. That'll come naturally enough. I'm saying when it happens, okay, we have conflict now. Now how do godly people deal with this? And it will happen. We're not going to sin. I'm not going to accuse. I'm not going to say bad things. I'm not going to go right for the jugular and then try to walk it back later. And I'm certainly going to get it reconciled before nighttime, before the sun goes down. I'm not giving place to the devil, not in my life. It's too hard. The victories I've had, the ground I've won, the blood-bought ground I've won, I'm not giving that back. Remember, it might be a hill of beans, right? We looked at a couple Wednesday nights ago, but it's God's hill of beans. And I'm not giving my life up one hill of beans at a time. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, first, tell the truth. Deal with your anger in a godly way. And don't steal. Now, I would be very, very surprised if I was sitting in a room full of thieves. I would never accuse a man or a woman of that. Are you really making sure you're squeaky clean in this area? I remember wiring light fixtures in a room, you know, all day long and going home with a pocket full of wire nuts. I could use them around the house. I'm an electrician. You know, I build stuff. I fix people's stuff. And if I have some wine nuts, that's good. They owe me that. They don't pay me enough anyway. Oh, I know, they're the company's wine nuts, but no. It's not a sin that you brought them home. It's a sin that you don't bring them back the next day. And of course I'd bring them back the next day. That's how it works. I don't want anything that the company can furnish me with, so can the hardware store. And they pay me enough that I can buy at the hardware store and I sleep like a baby. Do you fudge on your taxes? You know, this is, I just don't. I've worked under the table, got a few grand this year, about $5,000-$6,000. I've done side work. That's not true. It's hypothetical, but some IRS agent, if you listen to the sermon, $5,000 or $6,000, I miscast that. You know, $600, you got to start. I think that's the number, right? $600 or something like that. You can actually make under the table, and after that, you have to report it. Say, well, it's under the table, Adam. That's why I had a guy pay me cash. God can see through a table. I just want to let you know that, in case you were wondering. Don't steal. Just don't steal. If it's not yours, don't take it. That's all. Rather, there's another way. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. God wants you to work so you can have a nicer car and a fancier house. And by the way, I say that knowing full well, God's not against you driving a nice car, a nice truck, or living in a nice house. He's blessed you that way. He's a good God, isn't he? But job one, here's why I want to give you a lot of stuff, so you can be a generous person. And you can give to those, to him that needeth, not to him that scammeth, okay? And there's a lot of ways you can give, through the church one, obviously. But we're very conscious of how we spend money and stuff, and what, because it's important that, of stewards, that they be found faithful. And you, besides your giving and all that stuff, you're helping out a family member who's really struggling. That's what family's for. God's given you a good job. You can pay your bills and some of somebody else's besides. Wow, God's put you in a position like that? Great. They could be family who have your own name, or a church family, or but look to who I can help out with this. Who can I bless? Who can I? Because that's very godly when we're looking. I said before, there's no better way for me to love you than to love God. If I love God, my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm really in a very good position to love you. And there's no better way for me to love God than by loving you very well. It's a vicious circle. Oh, my goodness. And God wants that to be job one in my life. Now, I just got to go buy and own and have more and more and more. And because, that old bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys wins. That was silly right on the face of it. I mean, we don't have to think that all the way through. And again, you look through Scripture, Old and New Testament, God knows how to bless his own. We look at Abraham, we look at David, and certainly very wealthy man. Look at Job, And in the New Testament, it's the same way. You can look at ones like Lydia or whatever, but God knows how to bless, but he wants it to be us, not to be selfish people. Share the blessing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Don't steal, work. I'm getting to a place where I'm ending my work career. I'm not ending my ministerial career. I'm ending my work career. I want to say about work, I like it. People say, oh, are you going to miss us when you're gone? Yeah. Yeah, I get my serious face on and say, yeah. Yeah, I am. And I'm going to miss work. I'm going to miss the people I work with. Yeah. I don't look at work as a horrible thing. And I don't think Scripture does. It's verses like this. You know, I know some people have no desire to retire whatsoever. I can't show you scriptural retirement. You know, I can't show you a verse where this far and no more. But they like their job. Good. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he says, okay, till it and it'll grow and it'll be wonderful. So he gave them work to do prior to the fall. Now, when the fall happens, work became hard. By the sweat of your brow, the sweat of your face, you'll earn your bread. Oh, I get that. I get work is hard, but it's what God wants us to do. If I had like huge, big, serious money, like, you know, whatever, illions, I mean like big money, I'd work. That's what God wants. And I'm only changing my address of work. I still think I got a lot of projects. I got a honey-do list. You know, Sterling's looking and say, hey, they just bought a church up in Corinth. I'd probably bet they're going to need some help. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm in. They're building in Lincoln. I don't want to miss all my friends. If you got a roof to put on your barn or your garage, something, call me. I'll be over. You know, I don't want to stop working. I just want to stop 40 hours of work for a contractor. I think to stop working is to stop living. As long as I'm physically able, I think that's what God wants. I think I'm going to increase my ministerial objectives and hopefully have more time to, you know, do more ministry. What is that going to look like? Oh, God lead. I don't know. But the people, you know, I talk to them like, hey, how you doing? Oh, fine till I got here. Oh, dude, you got to figure something else to do with your life. That's a wrong attitude. That's not good. God has blessed you with a job that pays enough so you can pay all the bills on time and have a little bit extra. Praise his holy name. That's a wonderful thing. And if you have that horrible attitude towards work, you have to change. You got to change your attitude or change your job location, one of them, right? And I tell the kids, you know, they come in Monday, oh, it's so far for the weekend. They're wishing their whole lives away. They're just like, they live, you know, from Saturday, Sunday to next Saturday again. And the whole rest of they're trying to move it along and get through it so they can play and stuff. I'm going to miss it. I like to work. I understand this is what God has given us. So why don't you keep working then, Adam? I'm just going to change my address, but I will tell you this, because I feel like it's God's saying it's time for you to finish this aspect of it. Me and God have been in communion about this, been in communication about this. I feel like he's calling me to put that aside, okay? Just in case you're wondering. But I want to labor still. I want to work with my hands, a thing which is good, okay? And I want to still be generous and give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Swears, certainly taking the Lord's name in vain. Now that would also include lying, but he took that separately. But that which is good to the use of edifying. So not only just, I want to build up. You want to build up the body? You want to edify? That's a build up. We went over this a lot of times. That's what it means. I want to be part of that. God wants to build the body. I want to build the body. I want to see something in somebody that's commendable and tell them, the way you do this is really good. I've noticed. Keep that up. That's good. That's really good. Again, sometimes something they're doing isn't quite so good. And then it's speak the truth in love. There's always a verse, right? You know the thing you're doing? I was in the same boat. And I was really convicted about it. And I did this instead, and this is how I worked through it. Again, not in a judgmental, but in a body kind of, foot helping out the hand. I don't know what else to say. There's no corrupt communication proceeding out of the mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You want to build up. Just keep telling everyone how good they are? Well, yeah, if they're doing good and they need a little pat on the back, yeah. But if you just tell them how they're doing so good when they're not doing so good, now we're back to not telling the truth. And truth is super important. But we're edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Why? Because our God is gracious. And if we're going to represent and we're going to do things God's way, we're going to be gracious. I mean, that just makes sense. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By doing the things that he's called us not to do. The lying, the corrupt communication, the not working, the stealing in place of that. That's how we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And a million other ways besides. But I want to be true to the text, because I think this is what he's talking about. And not doing the things that he's saying to do, but speaking the truth in love. And sometimes he's calling you, you want to talk to George about this. I'm not confrontational, God. I don't want to talk to George about that. But I want you to. I want you to say what needs to be said. I want you to say it in love. But he'll get mad. I want you to obey me. Obedience. The very best way, show that you believe. We need to obey what God's calling us to do. Refrain from the good, refrain from the bad, and do the good. Don't do the things he's saying don't do, and do the things he's calling us to do, in both directions. And not doing that grieves the Spirit. Obviously. Now, I want to tell you something about the Spirit. That proves he's many verses, but that proves he's a person. You can't grieve a non-entity, a non-person. This verse proves that he loves us. Because you can't grieve somebody who doesn't love you. Or you can get them mad at you. I cut somebody off in traffic. They're not grieved. They're just angry. You know what I mean? They call me a bunch of bad names. But if I live my life in such a way that Suze's... I put her in a bad position or something. Let's say I steal and they throw me in jail. I've grieved her, definitely grieved, among other things, right? She's at least grieved. Why? Because she loves me. She doesn't want to see me go to jail. So we grieve the people we love. The Holy Spirit loves us. Just, faith in God. You know why we lie? You know why we lie? Because I don't think God's going to protect me if I don't. Susan's mad at me and she accuses me of something. She's right, by the way, but I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to lie my way out of it. No, you don't understand. It wasn't that way at all. I'm just going to deny. That's it. I don't trust God. You know what I need? I need faith in God in that situation. Honey, you're right. You're right. Forgive me. Now it's over. But if I lie because I didn't trust God, now I got to keep the lie going. Every time I got to set up the lie again and keep that going forward. You see how that works? But I just have faith in God instead. You know why I steal? Because I don't think I'm going to have enough. And if I don't take this, I won't have this. And God won't supply all my needs. It always comes back to faith in God. I've been thinking about this. I'm looking at this. And it all comes back to faith in God. If I just trust God, have that intimate communion with him and that fellowship with him, and Lord, I'm nervous about this. I don't want to go without. I think I need this in my life, and I'm really tempted to take this right now. Please help me to do the right thing. And now we're in that close communion. Will he help me to do the right thing? Yeah, only always. Is that a secret to you? You guys know that much about the Holy Spirit of God in your life, right? When you call to him for help, he's right there, and he will. There's no temptation that is overtaken you, but such that is common to men. But with that temptation, God will always give you a modus, a method, a way to escape, right? We know that, right? I mean, you've lived that at least once or twice, so hopefully every day of your life, right? And that close, Lord, I trust you. I want to say this. I want to say this lie because I think it's going to get me out of trouble. But Lord, I'm going to tell the truth. Let chips fall where they may. And Father, I just pray this would end up okay. And it always comes back to faith in God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? And this is, I'm going off script a little bit, by not having faith in God. Right? Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's the other sealing. You know, we talked about that in verse 1. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now we're sealed again. Is it a different sealing? No, it's the same one. He's just talking about it again. And I just wanted to remind us, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's why you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you don't steal and because you don't lie. By the way, don't steal, don't lie. But thank God for the sealing. Thank God for the, he saved you. He's earmarked you for salvation. You're his. You've been adopted. You've been recreated. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. For a million reasons, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I think this is expanding on the corrupt communication that's proceeding out of your mouth from verse 29. Bitterness. Oh my goodness, bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. I've never spoken on this before, so I'm going to, first time ever here, right? We hardly get through two or three services in a row where I don't speak about bitterness. Why? Because God's speaking about forgiveness and the lack of forgiveness, bitterness, all the time. So if I'm going to go verse by verse, I'm only going to turn a few pages of Scripture. We're talking about bitterness again. Bitterness is where I feel bad about what you've done to me. I swallow the poison hoping that you'll tip over. That's bitterness, okay, if you want to know. So how do I get rid of bitterness? Forgive from your heart, best you know how. And I've said before, forgiveness is both a crisis and a process. Crisis, I've determined you're forgiven. End of statement. But I feel really bad about what you did. I don't know how you feel about betrayal, being stabbed in the back, being lied about or stolen from. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't feel very good about that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to keep working that out. Pray for that person from my heart. And in time my heart will be warm toward them and not cold at all. And I won't have bitterness. Yeah, they worked me over pretty good. Ouch, that knife in the back, that wasn't very pleasant at all. Let God handle it. Life's too short. I'm not going to be bitter. I got to tell you something right now. Listen, the guy who's standing before you now, I have a bitter bone in my body. Why? Because nobody's ever abused me, worked anything bad about me. That's never happened to me. No, because I read these verses and I try to teach them. And before I teach them, I try to live them. And bitterness, in my thinking, is a big one. I've had bitterness before. I know what it is. It's a root. Boy, you better root it out. It's going to kill you. It's going to make you old before your time. And we're never more godly than when we forgive. And we're never more like Satan than we hold on to. And I get this. Why should I let him off the hook? Because you're hooked to them. And you don't let him off God's hook. God said, justice is mine. Recompense is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. You didn't let anybody off any hooks. Don't worry about that. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. What's the difference between wrath and anger? I think one's just, for a moment, one's just, we just said be angry and sin not. Now we're going to get, no, listen, wrath is just like, ah, just a blow up. Just a, when they, John the Baptist had wrath and he said, who told you to flee from the coming judgment, and he called them a brood of vipers. You remember that? He had wrath. Jesus had wrath. We looked around the synagogue at the man with the withered hand. They're all a bunch of hypocrites, and he knew it. They were just testing him. He was mad about that. He was angry about that. But we don't live there. It happens, okay? And then we deal with it in a godly way. And anger is the same way. Don't be the always angry. We had a guy we worked with, Angry Mike. If you said hi to him the wrong way, you're going to get him. He's just going to blow up. He's always like a grenade with the pin pulled. Your nickname is Angry, and then your name, that's a bad sign, okay? Don't be that. Be an affable, be a godly representative. Don't be all, you know, I think there was a time when I was more easily upset in my life. I just took myself and my situation way too seriously. I don't know. You grow out of that, hopefully, but some people don't. Don't be Mr. Upset all the time. You know, my wife has to approach me. She's always walking on eggshells. If she says the wrong thing, I'm just going to erupt. I'm going to have Mount Vesuvius right here in our living room. Just, wow. And clamor. Say, what's clamor? Just like it sounds. It's like a loud bang. It's a cacophony. It's noise. Don't be given to outbursts is kind of the idea. And you might have that, something like that. You're quiet, you're pensive, you're thoughtful. You're not explosive. And I think this goes back to the corrupt communication and evil speaking. Words are so important. You know, James says if you can control your tongue, you're the real deal. Man, you're doing it. You're doing it. If you can put a bridle on that thing, it's hard. It's hard. You know, you've heard the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is slow, but the flesh is quick. And your knee-jerk reaction is almost always the wrong thing. Somebody, you know, again, traffic. Somebody cuts you in front of you, and you almost have to drive off the road. Oh, praise God's holy name. Lord, bless that guy. You don't do that. The first thing comes out is like, you know, not good. Wait and do the second thing, okay? Just or is it just me? I don't know. Put away from you all malice. We don't want to think wrong thoughts about people. Boy, would I like that guy just fall flat in his face and break his whole face, knock his teeth out, idiot, jerk face. That's not really a godly attitude. I don't know if you knew that. That's really a godly attitude. Because at the end of the day, we're supposed to be kind one to another. Is this of the household of faith? Of course it is. Outside the house of faith? No, hate them. Just be terrible to them. No, of course not. We're to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Some of us are naturally more that way and some of us aren't. I don't know if you knew that or not. We are, but everyone can grow in that. It takes work. It takes work. When you blow up, when you say the wrong thing, when you think the wrong thing. Lord, that was so fleshly. Can you help me to overcome that? I don't want to be that knee-jerk reaction, explosive, string of epithets guy. I want to be a godly, and you can be honest with your Heavenly Father. If you know what I mean. He knows anyway. Is he grieved by your anger? No, he's grieved by the way you handle it. Forgiving one another. That's how you were kind. That's how we're tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Will one another need forgiveness? Oh, I know I do. Have I ever said anything that offended you? I step on toes for a living. That's what I do. Sometimes you have to move your toes. No apologies. And sometimes it's just me being a jerk, putting forth and just trying to make a point, not making it very good and saying something that was, oh, I really shouldn't have said it that way. Or maybe even something hurtful or something because I'm thinking of a time when somebody hurt me and they're not here, but you are, so you're getting to get the full brunt of whatever I should have worked out with them way back when. But if I'm tender-hearted and I'm forgiving, that it shouldn't come out like that, right? even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Okay, our time's spent, but this is my last point. Forgiving. Our trademark. I'm not waiting for them. If they come in here on their hands and knees and they beg for forgiveness, then maybe. No. They're not coming. Nobody comes that way. I've never had anyone ever on bended knee beg me for forgiveness. It's never happened. And I've forgiven everybody who's ever done anything wrong to me, ever. Because I've been forgiven so much. I'm just gonna be so honest with you. I've been forgiven so much. And if I were to say to God, thanks for forgiving me everything, clean slate, praise your holy name. Oh, but this person here who looked at me sideways and they didn't say good morning, well, I don't have to. No, stop. And the reason I put it that way, because what we've done in comparison, what's been done to us in comparison, what's been done to God, and maybe something that happened to you is very significant. I get it. If you live long enough, somebody's going to really hurt you. I know it. I'm not insensitive towards that. I if you need a hug and you need me to cry with you, I got that, okay? I can do that. I totally understand. And then I'm going to say, but you got to forgive them. That's what I'm going to say. I'm never going to change my tune because that's how God is. And that's how we're godly. We're forgiving one another. We're tenderhearted one towards another. We want to build each other up. We don't want to put each other down. We don't want to lie. We don't want to steal. We don't have corrupt communication. This is a very practical study. Isn't this? And I don't care where you are. You're good. I say, you know, sometimes you're bright people. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you're bright people. You get this. I totally understand it. But I know this. There's nobody here who, one of these things we can't work on a little bit this week. Again, what's the root cause? I have faith in God. Can we all lean into God a little bit more and say, God, increase my faith. I want to be who you want me to be. We all can work on that this week. And this is homework. I mean, I look at this, I say, oh boy, I got some stuff I got to do. Serious. That's how I look at it. And I think we all are in that same place.